Hello, everybody. Ella J here on behalf of WrestleZone. And today I am joined by the modern day diva, the undeniable Ashley Vega. How are you today?
I am fabulous. Thank you for having me again. It's been too long.
I know it has been like at least 2 years. It's been a hot minute. And we have to talk about, though, firstly, this undeniable element because it is simply undeniable that you have evolved tremendously since the last time I spoke with you. You've obviously revamped your look. You also have this confidence oozing out of you, I feel like. So, how, firstly, talk about this progress and growth that you've made these last 2, 3 years since the last time I talked with you.
Like especially in the last year, I feel like because I've been asked, so next year will be 10 years since I first started training. Obviously I started very, very young, and I feel like in the last couple of years I've just been stuck in the same process and not getting anywhere. And I feel like I was thinking that things should come to me. I was a very like jealous person of people, and I realized I just need to do it myself. I just need to go and do it myself. And so I've been in the last year, I've been traveling Barcelona, Spain, Ireland, just for training, just training as with as many coaches, as many promotions. And yeah, it's like paid off because I'm wrestling more than I ever have been and traveling more, and it's just been a very self-reflective moment. And I think the undeniable thing came about is because, you can hate me, you can dislike me, you can dislike what I stand for and what I do, but I work harder than half of you. So, do what you want to do.
Yeah, I've seen you popping up everywhere. Like you said, you've been traveling a lot around Europe and training. You've also kind of, it's not a new character, but I feel like it's a kind of a more refined version of Ashley Vega, So from this character and identity standpoint, talk about the process of kind of sharpening and refining your character and who this present day Ashley is as the modern day diva.
So the whole like modern day diva thing obviously came about as people obviously know is that I'm a massive stan of the divas, and that's how I got into wrestling. The reason I wanted to keep it is I want to pay homage to the women that people, the 3-minute matches and everything that they used to do, and that if they didn't go through with that, we wouldn't be here. So I feel like the modern day thing is I can wrestle, I am good at this, and but I also want to be a diva. And I can, that's, I feel like that's what Ashley Vega is someone who embodies like the full history of women's wrestling, from the beginning. I love all the crazy brand panty stuff, the crazy storylines, but I also, when it comes to it, I love wrestling, and combining both of them just as the modern day diva, that's just who she is. That's who Ashley Vega is.
Yeah, I feel like you've always had this in you, of course, but now, like we said, it's more refined, it's more polished, and you have that confidence, like we said, oozing out of you. And some of that also comes with experience. Like you said, you're going to be coming up next year, is going to be 10 years since you started training. So some of it comes with age and experience as well. But obviously, another big part of your character, your identity, is your ring gear. So I have a specific piece I want to ask about. But before we get back to that, what would you say are your general sources of inspiration when you're crafting and envisioning your ring gear? What does that process look like for you?
So all of the ring gear that I've like worn is I've designed, well, not designed obviously, but I've drew it up myself, and I love getting creative, with, I think it's the first gear, like the Trish inspired gear. I've had Candice Michelle inspired gear, and recently just Christina Aguilera inspired gear. It's just I like to take inspiration from especially the early 2000s. I was born in 2000, and that whole era is just something that I love, the cheesiness and yeah, just the style, and I feel like that's what I'm all about. I come out with the 2000 print on my gear, and yeah, I just that era was iconic for fashion, and that's why I love it. So yeah.
Now, there's a specific gear. It might be a little Christina inspired, anyways, with the chaps, but I love your yellow gear with the chap pants where it reads undeniable down the leg. Is there a certain
Yeah.
story or inspiration behind that particular ring gear?
Yeah, so the first yellow gear that I had was the kind of Clueless inspired
Yes.
look, and I just loved the yellow, and I was like, I really want to get something else yellow. And again, I was it was I think it was like the Christina had done a show, and she had like a modern day version of her yellow chaps, and I
Yeah.
was like, oh my God, like that. Why don't I do chaps? So I went, and she had I went back to like one of the looks that she did in like must have been early 2000s, and it was the yellow chap gear, and I was like, that's what I need, that like that's what I want. So I made it mine. Instead of having the Xtina, I had the undeniable down the side. So yeah, that was just literally where it came from. She came up and I was like, she had amazing looks, let's go look back. And yeah, that's pretty much how that came about.
Well, lucky for you, you have a variety of looks, of a portfolio of looks to scout for future looks potentially for yourself from Christina or the Divas era as well. You know, I
Yeah.
know you've obviously done a little bit of Mickey inspired gear with your pink plaid. That's a little bit of an homage to her
Yes.
lollipop days.
Of
But you
course.
know, when you're assessing today's wrestling landscape, like the modern day, who do you think has the best ring gear game or aesthetic in wrestling today?
I also take a lot of inspiration from your girl behind you, Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
So funny story, when TNA now came to Glasgow, my best friend Emerson Jane made her debut at that show, and so I was there to support her, and she was wrestling Naomi. And I got to meet Naomi afterwards, and the first thing she said to me was, "You remind me so much of my friend Liv." And ever since then, so many people have said to me, "You remind me of Liv." And I don't know if it's the hair or the gear or like what, but yeah, like ever since she said that, a lot of people have been saying that to me, and I'm like I'll take it. I fucking love Liv Morgan. So a lot of like inspiration comes from like recently I had like a black I have like a full black gear that was inspired by Liv. So yeah, you know, like I just like to take inspiration from where I can, and yeah.
You're both not afraid of color. Obviously, you got have pastel hair now. You got bright yellow gear. You've had pink gear. You know, you did, but you can also go darker at times. You know, with black
Yeah.
or potentially red. But you know, since we're talking about that, talking about your pastel hair specifically, what was the motivation to dye your hair? Talk us about that decision and perhaps the significance behind it.
Yeah, so it was, it must have just been, yeah. So after COVID, like I started training with Joe Hendry, and ever since then, like I completely kind of changed my. That's kind of when I started working on who Ashley Vega was and what I represent. And I just felt like I needed a change. And I had dark hair for so long. And I was like, I want something completely different. I want to like come back. I had just gotten the yellow gear at this point. And I was like, I want to like do something else. And I was like, why don't I just dye my hair? I've never bleached my hair in my life. I was like, but I want to do it. So I just like decided one day I'm going to do it, and I wanted to go pink. So that's what I done. I just thought pink is who Ashley Vega is, and I wanted something different. So that was the reason. And there was also another reason that was so Joe Hendry, he when he started to shift his character, he dyed his hair blonde, and
Yeah.
for some reason, I think that inspired me to change my hair color as well, which is weird, but I feel like for him it was a change, and I feel like I needed that change as well. So that was why I done it.
Now, how often do you have to redye your hair to maintain your color?
Too much. I honestly, I just, it's a lot of money, but it's worth it. It's worth it. But
Yeah.
every like I do need to diet like every few weeks, which is a pain, but it's fine. That's what why we have extensions.
Yeah, we're doing great, Ashley. I feel like pink also is obviously very reminiscent of the Butterfly Divas Championship, so I'm gonna
Of
say that that's an
course.
underlying reason for it,
100%.
which like you said, obviously modern day diva is obviously implicatory of you being a fan of that era. And we've previously discussed your love for Mickie James and Trish Stratus. So I'm curious to know your thoughts on their recent runs. Obviously Trish coming back, feuding with Becky, turning on Lita, Mickie with the last rodeo, and now helping out with a lot of behind the scenes stuff. We'll start with Trish. What was your thoughts last year on Trish returning, WrestleMania? She turns on Becky. They have this whole 6 month feud ending in a steel cage.
That whole thing for me was just like, it was obviously Trish's came back before, wrestled
Yes.
Charlotte, which was amazing, and all this stuff. But I feel like she still had something left in her. And I feel like the whole her going heel, it was just the icing on the cakes. It was just like we had seen everything that she could do, but she had never gone back to that like 2005 era heel Trish. So yeah, it was just, and the cage match, like she took a beating, like she showed that she could like still do these like crazy tight matches, and like and still look good doing it. So I feel like the whole story was just it's just perfect. I feel like we all wanted to see heel Trish because we are so used to seeing her as the big good guy, and
Yeah.
which is great, but there was also that era of her as women's champion as a heel, and it was iconic. So yeah, the whole like the match at Mania, the women's tag match, everything was just, yeah, it was just such a nice little, hat tip to that era of wrestling. And yeah, she deserves her flowers.
Also, I think that was Lita's only second WrestleMania match, which is crazy.
Yes,
Absolutely
wild.
insane.
But it was such, I just remember watching it live and just being like, this is like so many different eras together. It was just, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, we obviously saw a different side of Trish. Mickey's was a bit more emotional, considering the last
Yeah.
rodeo, because she led people to believe that this might be it for her. She had this long thing where if she lost, she would be done. Obviously, she prevailed though. She won the Knockouts Championship at Hard to Kill last year. Unfortunately, the run was a little bit tainted by an untimely injury, which makes me so incredibly sad because we don't know what we could have gotten
We
otherwise.
could have gone.
We would have gotten Mickey and Trinity probably a lot earlier at
Oh,
that
yeah.
point too, if she, had she
Yeah.
not gotten injured. Which I'm glad we still got it eventually. But yeah, what are your thoughts on, Mickey's last rodeo? And she's not done yet, but she's slowing down a little bit. She's still focusing though behind the scenes, doing a lot of women's wrestling producing for OVW. And obviously at the time of recording this, the Her event is coming up later this week.
Yes.
Talk about Mickey's latest run the last year or two.
Emotional. It was more emotional, just too emotional. Like it was
Yeah.
just like such a, I don't know. Like obviously, you know how much I love Mickey. You love Mickey. Like she's just, she has the goat, and inside the ring, outside the ring, she's the goat. So when that whole thing came about, I believed like, oh my God, this could be it. Like this could be like her last run, and that was it. So it just felt very sad, but the matches that she was having at that point were like some of the best matches she'd had. And yeah, it was just, like I just remember feeling so emotional thinking like this could be like the last time, because I've obviously watched her since like, God, 07, 08, and feeling like she's been wrestling all these years, and then like this could be the last time, and you feel like you have to appreciate
Yeah.
every match that she's had to kind of just appreciate it. But yeah, it was a lot more emotional, and I'm glad that she's still here. She's still like doing what she has to do. So yeah, she will always be the GOAT, no matter what she ends up doing. And yeah, it was just that whole run was just very emotional, but
Yeah, the
amazing.
GOAT. Yeah, the greatest of all time, period. I obviously back that statement up 1000%, you know.
Yes.
And you know, the future is not done for Trish and Mickey. Mickey, like we said, is wrestling actually later this week. Trish has said she's obviously open for one more run. It just depends, you know, kind of how the story's written. I feel like, you know, Trish's retired like 5 times. So like she's never actually going to be done.
No, I feel like
So
she'll just have like you'll she'll just keep coming back.
yeah.
And yeah, I'm okay with
Yeah,
that.
same.
Do it.
You know, obviously there is another woman who you look up to as well. You know, actually you wrote about her in our International Women's Day piece that we did during Women's History Month. Victoria is obviously one that you look up to as well, particularly her hardcore match with Trish, and obviously the steel cage match
Yes.
against Mickey are highlights. Talk about the influence that she had on you, or the inspo that you drew from Victoria slash Tara.
Yes, I feel like her TNA run was something I remember the most because it was just she had obviously the she left WWE and it just kind of felt a little like she wasn't done, but she was
Yeah.
done, so it was very confusing, and I just like wish that she was given more at that time. But to see her come back to TNA and then have like these amazing matches with Mickey, like wrestling Gail, like all these amazing things, ODB, like all the matches and storylines that she had, it just felt like she had leveled up, you know. She took like Tara to like a different level, and I just loved watching her because it was like I have a fear of spiders, and I just thought it was so fucking badass coming out with this huge tarantula. Like it terrified me, but I just thought it was so like I just remember thinking like, oh, that's so badass. Like she's coming out. It reminded me. I was like, oh, remember when Jake the Snake came out with a snake, and she's. It was just, oh, it was so cool. I just thought she was like insanely impressive, and a lot of like the moves I do are inspired by her. So I do take a lot of inspiration from her. Just yeah, her TNA like run stands out so much to me. And yeah, she's again one of the goats. She's definitely my top three. Yeah, I love her.
Well, it's kind of a full circle thing. You recently had a little bit of a taste of TNA wrestling when you got to attend their TNA Gut Check last year. Tell us
Yes.
about that experience.
Yeah, that was such a cool experience. You know, it's kind of the first time I'd ever done anything like that. But it was a weird feeling. She didn't know what to expect. No one really knew what to expect. But it was great to be able to wrestle in front of, you know, the likes of Gail Kim. Like it was just such a weird experience for them to be in Glasgow, scouting talent and being able to even just get the chance to show yourself in front of these people. You know, you can't really say a lot of people don't really get to say like the chance to say that they get to do that. And the fact that I did, you know, it was emotional, and I just felt really blessed that, you know, when I started wrestling, I would never have thought of, you know, getting that far. So being able to attend that, do that, you know, I feel like now that I've got a taste, the next time I want to win it. And yeah, that was like the little taste of it, and now I want to get there.
Yeah, obviously it's a valuable an opportunity not only to prove yourself but also to continue learning. So, can you tell us some of the things that you either learned about yourself or about wrestling through this TNA Gut Check experience?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I did the best I could, and I felt proud that I was able to perform, and I got some really good feedback, and it was just such a good experience. So I learned like confidence wise, I just need to believe in myself. Again, this is something I'm like the past couple of years, this whole me redefining Ashley Vega has been about confidence and believing in myself. So it was another little reminder to do that, and I just feel like I have to still do some search, and I'm not quite where I want to be. I don't think I will be for a long time. I'm getting there, I'm progressing, but I've not succeeded to a point where I'm happy that I can leave and be like, yeah, I've done what I've needed to do. I'm so far from what I can do. So it's just to have that little taste, I just want more now. Yeah, so especially going to, we had the tryouts and then the day after was the TNA show, and getting to meet some of the guys was just, yeah, it was just, I've just, now that I've had that, I want more. I just want more.
Yeah, and it's kind of, again, kind of full circle thing, because I mean, a couple years ago, actually, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, you had an opportunity to kind of train with somebody who went through a similar experience in the TNA British boot camp, that being Rampage Brown. You got to coach with him and everything. So tell us about that full circle moment of learning from Rampage.
Yeah, I actually caught up with Rampage last weekend at a show. So that was really cool. Yeah, I just like I remember watching British Boot Camp at the time. And at the time I wasn't really familiar with British wrestling. It was more just like TNA and WWE.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my first introduction to him, and he is honestly one of like the most amazing person to learn from. His like knowledge is just insane, how long he's been doing it, and the fact that he's like one of the best, and he's just the nicest, most down-to-earth guy. Recently I done like a couple online coaching sessions with him, and he's just, yeah, he's just great, and he's so helpful, and he understands, he gets it, and I could just listen talk like for hours, because this is his wealth of knowledge is just insane. So it was a really good like circle moment to be able to train with him, do a few seminars with him, after growing up watching British Boot Camp and seeing him for the first time, because he was like one of the first independent wrestlers that I
Yeah.
kind of took note of. So that was just such like amazing experience. I just like recently I've been doing so many seminars and training, and it's just learning from as many people as I can, and it's genuinely been the best experience.
Yeah, you through those seminars, or maybe in general, through, you've been working with a lot of vets. You yourself are also kind of a vet at this stage in your career. What is there a, has there been a certain piece of advice or word of wisdom that has really stuck with you so far, and who did it come from?
Oh, that's a good question. I think so. Dani Luna. So Dani Luna, I remember wrestling her in 2016 at a show in Wales, I want to say. And we had both been wrestling at like just a year at that point. And to see where she is now, she recently done a couple of training sessions with us, and during COVID she did a lot with us, and I remember like one of the pieces of advice she told me was just don't punish yourself for failing. Like you can't punish yourself, you just need to keep going. And it just always stuck with me, because I punish myself if I fail at something. And then that punishment goes on for days, and I retract from all the work that I've done. So it's like, okay, I can fail and that's okay, but I need to move on from it. So that's always something that like stuck with me, to hear that from her, just because I knew she kind of started the same as me and she's killing it now. So yeah, I'd have to say that.
I feel like that goes with a post that you shared on Twitter last year, I believe it was. And you don't need to get into specifics about it, but you were talking about how for a long time you felt like a lot of people were taking your dream away from you, your dream away of wrestling, because you, quote, didn't follow the rules of who they wanted you to be. And you said that you feel like some people don't like the fact that you're still here after everything they did, but at the end of the day, you know your worth and you're going nowhere. So, like I said, you don't need to get into specifics, but what kept you motivated to continue pushing forward, even with those failures, so you could live out your dream and eventually realize your worth?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like especially back when I started training, it was very, you have to be this size, you have to look this way, and you have to do these certain things to get these opportunities, and I just didn't believe it. Just wasn't me. I just didn't believe in it, and I stepped away from it. And I got so much backlash at the time for turning my back on, these professionals. But to me, it wasn't making me happy anymore. I just didn't believe that that was the way you had to learn to become a wrestler. It didn't feel that was like the right way. So turning my back on that, I got a lot of hate. And now those people aren't involved, and those people aren't, that's what they deserve. I think the only thing that kept me really motivated was I had left and stopped wrestling just before COVID. I felt like that was it for me. And I started training with Joe Hendry at that point, and he just completely changed my mindset for everything. I feel like I owe him so much. He just changed everything for me. Like, I can't even thank him enough for the words of wisdom, the calls that he's had with me, just the talks. He just listens and he gets it, and he did not care about anything that I'd went through or what people had said about me. He knew that things were said, and he just didn't care. The thing that changed his mind was I had a match at training at one of his sessions, and he had like a he was like, "You've just proved everyone wrong." He's like, "What, you need to start doing this going forward." And I feel like that was when the like it switched, and that was the only thing that kept me going. And I still go back to like those chats now, even though there was a couple years ago. And it just keeps me going. I believe in Joe Hendry.
And you, more importantly, you believe in yourself now,
Exactly, yeah.
and a lot of that, like we said, can come with experience, but also who you're looking up to, who you're serving under. And Joe Hendry obviously seems like a very good influence. And obviously, as we're now pushing forward and looking forward towards the future, what are some of your personal and professional goals that you're hoping to accomplish in the next year or two?
I definitely want to wrestle overseas. I want to wrestle in the States. Hopefully
So do
that can
I. I
happen very
want you to
soon.
as well.
I have so many, things planned. I'm going to Ireland in a couple of weeks again. So yeah, I'm just trying to keep as busy as I can. But goals wise, I want to wrestle in more countries, tick off the buckets. And more importantly, finally have that match with Mickey. That is, yeah, I feel like once that happens, I can die happy. That's all I need, and I believe that hopefully, we almost got to getting it a couple years ago, but now I feel like I'm like the best person of myself. I feel the reason it didn't happen, it didn't go through. I'm happy now. I was so gutted at the time, but now I'm like, I wasn't as good as I am now. So if it happened now, I can be 10 times better than what I was. So I feel like there was a reason that it never went through at that point. And I believe that now, if the opportunity comes, then, I
Yeah,
want it to happen.
we need the modern day diva versus an OG diva. It's just
Yes.
universe, we're putting it out there. We're putting it out there. There's a possibility too that Mickey maybe brings an all women's event to the UK next year. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Or just in general, I know she's wrestled a bit about around the UK the last couple of years, so
Yes.
fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. But before we let you go, Ashley, can you please share where the listeners can find you online?
Yes, so all my socials, X, Instagram, and Facebook are all at Ashley Vega UK. Yeah, that's where you can
Ashley,
find me.
thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been so good getting to catch up with you. And again, fingers crossed, Mickie James versus Ashley Vega, 2025, I want to say. 2025
Yes.
is the year,
Oh,
Fingers
yeah.
crossed. Ashley, thank you so much again.
Thank you.